All righty. 49ers get beat 20-17 yesterday in Baltimore. Time to head out to the Dialpad guest line. And joining us now is our Radio.com NFL insider, Brian Baldinger. Baldy's brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Baldy, I got to believe that game yesterday between the Niners and the Ravens was right up your alley. You had to love that game.
Well, it was, Sonny. It was. Because there was just so many factors involved, you know, and it was everything. It was the conditions. It was being on the road. It was doing a pretty good job of taking care of the football. You know, I thought everybody was on their game, both sides of the ball. That's an elite team that the Ravens have. And, you know, it went right down to the wire, down to the final tick. And it was about as even as you could get, but there was so much really to analyze on both sides of the ball.
Baldy, it was a great game, and, you know, it was breathtaking. And then on the other hand, you're hearing everybody's viewpoint of it. And I was telling the fellas, Lamar Jackson through the air, only 105 yards, Baldy, but he had 101 on the ground. Can you give us a sense of what you thought, how the Niners handled him in totality? Because to me, I just felt like he got outside containment a bit more for my taste, and that's pretty much what kept the drives going and the clock ticking.
Well, he's, you know, there's really no defense to contain him.
Wow.
The 49ers had him. I mean, assignment football, they had it, right? I mean, Kywan Williams, you know, has him, and he makes a miss, and Eric Armstead has him, and he makes a miss, and you can design all, and even, you know, on the very last drive, I mean, they've got three guys outside. It's a bootleg all the way. And he sees all three 49ers out there waiting for him, and he sees Hayden Hurst somewhere over the middle of the field. And on first and 15, they pick up 10 yards, and it gets you 10 yards closer for Justin Tucker to go kick that game-winning field goal. I mean, there's just, you can draw it all up, and you can be assignment perfect. And they were a lot of times. And he still picked up 7, 8, 10 yards on a bunch of different carries.
Yeah, Baldy, he was phenomenal yesterday. His ball handling in the pocket, the way he rides a running back, all that was great. But I want to highlight some positives, something we haven't talked about on the show, and I saw you breaking it down earlier today on Twitter, and that's Fred Warner. Fred Warner's made a lot of people around here forget about Reuben Foster. Sideline to sideline, compensating for the loss to Quan Alexander. I thought Fred Warner was everywhere. Now people know around the nation after watching yesterday how good of a football player Fred Warner is.
Well, you know, I remember last year when he was a rookie coming out of BYU, I did the first game in Minnesota. And, you know, Reuben Foster and Fred Warner, and really, I mean, John Lynch told me from the day one that he was the Mike linebacker. You know, he had beaten Reuben Foster out for that position as a rookie. And it really has never changed. I mean, he's got 44 more tackles than the next closest guy. His pass coverage was elite yesterday, whether it was covering, you know, Hollywood Brown over the middle of the field or, you know, I mean, it's just all phases of the game. He didn't come off the field yesterday. His tackling is crisp. He knows how to get guys lined up. The communication is sound. I mean, he's what you want in a middle linebacker. And, you know, I mean, you'll see a great one tonight in Bobby Wagner. But I think that right now Fred Warner is right there. He's right there with Bobby Wagner at the beginning of his career right now. But he's, you know, I mean, I think Bobby Wagner was a third-round pick. I think Fred Warner was a third-round pick. You know, and I mean, they're basically the same type of player. I mean, they just know where the ball is going. They know how to find it. You know, they're great tacklers, and they're great leaders. And that's what Fred Warner has been this year.
Brian Baldinger joining us on 95.7 The Game. You can follow him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. Brian, one of the things we've heard on the text line, and some people have called in and sometimes heard it on the broadcast yesterday, was that when Lamar Jackson runs the run-pass option, you got to hit Lamar Jackson. When he's in the running game, you can hit him. Is that just harder to do than it is to say? Because it's not like everybody doesn't know that, right? What makes it so hard?
Well, just because there's a lot of deception built into the offense, you know, whether it's, you know, everybody going power right and him pulling the ball out and keeping a, you know, a quarterback keeper to the left with Ronnie Stanley leading him down to the 2-yard line and score a couple plays later. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ball handling and faking that goes on where your eyes can be deceived. Look, Marcel Harris got the ball out of his hands yesterday. It's the first time anybody has forced and recovered a fumble against Lamar Jackson all year. In over 700 touches. I mean, the first time somebody got the ball out. And I thought the 49ers would. And that was a key stop in the game. And you measure when you play a player like Lamar Jackson, a team like the Ravens, you just measure them by stops. Can you keep them the field goals? Can you get the ball away? Can you stop them on fourth down? I mean, the 49ers did all those things yesterday. They were just, you know, they were just a final drive away from being a little bit better. And he's the best player in the league. He's the best player every week. For eight straight weeks in a row, he's been the best player on the field. And I haven't seen anybody really that has been able to just stop him. But if you try to tackle him like a running back, he's just slippery. He's just slippery, and he's elusive, and he's fast.
Yeah, Baldy, you played the game, and the best compliment you could give anybody is saying that an NFL defense can't contain him. And I just want to ask you briefly, because Steiny brought this up, where's Lamar Jackson going to be in 5 years? Can he sustain this? And I want to ask you, is he where Michael Vick was on his best day? Is he something different than Michael Vick was? And are you concerned by all the hits that he takes, how long this can last?
Well, he's much further along than Michael Vick, much further. His development, I mean, I don't think Mike Vick, even when he was in Philadelphia at the end, when he was really coached by Marty Morningwing, different guys, I don't think he ever played at the level that Lamar is playing at. He was the athlete in a lot of different ways, but, you know, I don't know if it even matters if he can do this 5 years from now, to be honest with you. I mean, if they win a Super Bowl this year, they've already won. You know, I mean, if he gets two of them, I'm past the point of telling him to get down and protect himself, and he's just too competitive. He's just not going to slide. He's not always going to go out of bounds. He's going to take hits. And if he survives, he does. And if he doesn't, then that's just the way he's going to play the game. We haven't seen anybody ever survive long term. And I don't know if it really matters, to be honest with you. If he has three great years the way he's having right now, then that's probably the shelf life right now. I mean, maybe it could go longer, but really, I mean, if you just draft a guy and you get a Super Bowl win out of him, you've already won. You got the Super Bowl.
Baldy, I hate being that guy second-guessing coaches, but all season long, man, and it drives me crazy. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's in short-yarded situations when you see these teams line up in shotgun and a running back at 7 yards in the backfield, and it just drives me nuts. Where's the I formation? Where's the power formation? And that leads me to yesterday when the Niners, their last play of the game on offense, where they line up in a shotgun, they throw a pass, it gets batted down. Third down, they run a play out of the shotgun. How do you feel about short yardage plays when a team lines up in shotgun? Does that drive you crazy? Do you second guess the coaching? Do you want the I formation? How do you feel about that, Baldy?
Well, I'm with you. You know, I mean, you're only a great running team and a great offense when you can convert fourth and one, when you can gain a yard when you need to get a yard. Now, on fourth down in the opening drive, they throw a touchdown pass, you know, and, you know, they go max protection and sell the run, and Garoppolo hits, you know, a perfect throw. And so do you want to give that up? Because there is some deception to it. But at the same time, in that critical part of the game, you'd love to line up, you know, with the way Raheem Mostert was running yesterday. You'd love to give him the opportunity to get it, or give Kyle Juszczyk a carry. He didn't carry the ball yesterday. Give him the carry. Quarterback sneak, there's a lot of options right there. But I like my quarterback under center on fourth and one. And then you could do everything you want to do. But I like giving it to my offensive line and letting them go move the line of scrimmage for that yard.
Brian, before I let you go, you said something about Lamar Jackson, and I kind of get it. You know, he's got to play like this till he can't play like this, or you know, if something happens 4 or 5 years down the line, then it happens. But that nobody's really been able to have a long career exactly like this. Are there quarterbacks that in the past that have made a transition, at least? Like, the first guy I think of is a guy like Randall Cunningham. Did he just kind of shift his game over time, and that's what allowed him to play for a long period of time? Is there any kind of comparison there?
Yeah, there's a comparison. I played with Randall. I remember one time we were playing a playoff game against Dallas, and he broke the pocket, like, in the first quarter, and he scrambled, and Ken Norton Jr. flattened him. I mean, just flattened him. And I went down, you know, down the field and picked up Randall, and he just looked at me and he goes, I ain't running no more today. That was it. And you know, at the end, when he was in Baltimore and he was, in Minnesota, I should say, in 98, and they were the highest scoring team in the history of football, and Randy Moss and, you know, Chris Carter and the whole group was there, and Brian Billick was calling plays. I mean, he became a pocket quarterback, and he was great. He was really, really good. He didn't care about being the ultimate weapon at that point. He'd given up trying to run for 1,000 yards, and he became a really good player. And he did transition. Steve Young transitioned. It took him a while. It took him a while, both those guys, to be able to transition to becoming, you know, really great quarterbacks from the pocket. I don't think Lamar Jackson's ready to do anything like that yet.
No, certainly not. Hey, Baldy, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
All right, Brian Baldinger, NFL